If you go to Kia, then lock your shit up, right?
Yeah, so, I have a Kia, and they can take it.
Welcome back to Show Me Yours podcast. I'm Jackie Agnew.
I'm Johnny DeVito.
Who we got in the studio here?
Jackie, that is a great question, baby. I'm glad you asked. Today, we have in the studio a fantastic father, a funny man, a hardest working dude on the road, probably the best beard in the business, the host of the Great Canadian Hall of Canadian Comedy Hall of Fame podcast.
Nailed it.
Hell yes.
There we
Chad
go.
Chad Noonan in the
I'm
house.
I'm thinking about shaving my beard, actually.
Get out of
here.
Yeah. It's been like years. It's been like, I was probably like 22.
Oh my goodness.
When I started, I'm 36 now.
Okay, Flashers, if you want a taste of some hot man action, then you go on to the YouTube right now and get the last taste of what might be a fantastic beard.
The last time, like, I didn't have a chin.
Ooh.
And I've lost like a lot of weight.
So you think that
I might have a chin now.
Oh, well, you gotta take a peek and
I
see.
So.
Chad, I'm going to go ahead and advise against this because no more than 1 year ago, I was working construction and there was a professional looking guy in a clean white hard hat giving an apprentice of mine a very hard time. Now, that's my job. So if I run into somebody that this poor, a younger girl that's not necessarily experienced on a construction site, she's kind of taken it from a stranger. And I walked up to him and fucking read him the riot act. It was like, if anybody's going to yell at this girl for doing something wrong, it's me. And we got into it. And it turns out that that is a member of the British Columbia Safety Authority who's on site making sure that everything is being done safe. Now, when I exploded on him, he turned around and was like, okay, fuck you and your entire company. And he made all of us get fit tested for respirators.
Oh, yeah.
And none of us were doing work that really required that unless, you know, say you're drilling into concrete and getting silica dust, whatever the case is, right? There's ways to avoid that. But because of my outburst, it was taken down and there was probably a group of...
To get fit tested, you have to shave your
beard. Have to shave.
So that girl had to shave her beard?
Yeah,
no, she
right?
was fine. She was fine, but me and all the other journeymen that are like, you know, hoorah, and were giving me the pat on the back for doing the right thing, 3 hours later were cursing me because now we all had to shave our beards for the first time in years. And I didn't grow a chin in that time. And I had to be on stage that night. And for probably the next week, I couldn't get past the fact that this audience assumes that they know me as a man with a beard when they don't know me at all.
Yeah, I have no like beard related jokes, so I think I'm fine.
You will be, but it's the confidence.
You're not losing half of your material.
Yeah. I saw a thing once where one guy's like, there was like some comic who like, he had like half of his stuff was about this Hawaiian shirt he was wearing.
Oh,
this other guy's just ripping him, be like, that means he has to wear that Hawaiian shirt every fucking night.
Oh my
God. You know?
It's crazy. Did you ever have a thing that you leaned on when you started with comedy?
Oh yeah, and maybe I still lean on it a little bit, but I name like all the towns around and like compare them to like drugs or like whatever.
Right. I like it.
And I still do that. And it's funny, there's been people like, I can't book you in Toronto. You name all the small towns. I was like, it doesn't matter what town I'm in. You know, if I'm in Niagara Falls, I say Hamilton or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, is like a way to like jump into it. I'm trying to do that less and less.
It's an interesting way of, like an easy way to kind of connect with an audience where if you're not from there, especially if it's as easy as looking at a Google map, I mean, like, what's the surrounding area around here? You
it's
know?
That easy.
Yeah.
And people are like, I love that bit. And I was like, really? It's like the simplest, it's like the way I thought of to like get into a set. Cause like, how the fuck do you jump into a set? That's like the hardest thing to like get the audience in that first like 15 seconds. And that's what I kind of like thought of, but now I'm trying to like pull from the room, trying to think of something that's happened earlier in the show. I try to do that more and more.
I think that's like a sign of something that is that definitely like growing as a comic. Like me and Jackie were saying before we started recording, we're at a show on Wednesday where I think a lot of comics maybe haven't been kicked in the nuts enough to know that a dead crowd doesn't necessarily mean that your set's going to suck. You know what I mean? You have to kind of bring that energy to the room. And I'm watching a bunch of guys that are just staring at their notebook rather than looking at the audience and what's happening in the room. You know what I mean? Like, this is a weird situation. So you're only going to get over it if you tackle it head on.
Yeah.
Right? Rather than going in there and saying, like, this is, you know, my best joke here. where the topic or subject matter has been dying for everybody else isn't necessarily going to put you over.
Yeah. You just go in and just start doing your set or whatever and just not even acknowledging or whatever. What's just like not having self-awareness of what's going on in the room and like, you know, adjusting accordingly.
Mm-hmm. It's like that thing if a glass breaks, like you can't just let the glass break in the room if a server knocks something over or whatever. Yeah. You can't just let it like smash and then be like, anyways.
Totally. Just not acknowledge it.
Yeah. If somebody orders a blended drink or a shake drink or something like that, right? And that's the only sound that's being heard over you or whatever, if you're not going to acknowledge that. Or like a classic one, we used to do a show at a bar that had the kitchen pass, like very close to the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And the cooks, they would always hit the bell, regardless of whether the show was on or whatever.
Yeah.
So either you have something awesome to ding to, you know, to go to.
The classic order up.
Exactly.
They always love it.
Yeah, because
I'm gonna order up this next joke. Yeah.
I think this is when we started we met in film school, so I think a lot of time like we had so much stuff written before getting on stage, and it was kind of came from a okay, you just have to take these scenarios from what would be like you know, like your sitcom or sketch or whatever that you're trying to write, and then kind of fit it towards stand up or whatever. So I think we had a lot of material and didn't have the confidence to talk about the room or what was happening. So for a long time, probably about a year or whatever, I got on and it's just like, I know the lyrics to this and I'm going to
cover this out.
Exactly. Right. And I think it took a couple people pulling me aside at the, you know, after a show and being like, we can tell what you're doing. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. But if you're bombing, especially me, if I'm bombing, then I would just motor all the way through.
Just kind of, you don't even act like it.
I think that's a big thing for like any comedian is realizing like, oh, like when I'm bombing, I can acknowledge what's happening and it's going to make it a lot less awkward for everyone involved.
Oh, totally.
I was listening to something. It was like a podcast. It was one of my friends did it. And they were talking, they ended up like talking about me because I was just on a show with them. They're like, Chad breaks the fourth wall the entire time. And they were like, he's the fourth wall comic. I was like, yeah, that's right. I will say whether it's going well or not.
Yes.
I'll be like, that's a great joke. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, that one went well, you know, like the whole time.
Yeah.
I think talk about everything, you know?
Totally. Mm-hmm. I was inspired by guys that would do that or whatever. You know what I mean? You'd have like a, I mean, well, Darcy Boone Collins would be like, definitely comes to mind. He would walk on stage and you'd be so nervous about the spot just because, even happy just to even get booked on it or whatever, right? And he would walk on there and just pop the fucking bubble. All these guys suck.
I like that. I like some razzle dazzle. Different.
Definitely.
Let's give it up for your headliner in the back of the room. Oh, like, I'm like kind of sometimes, I mean, that the clubs, that's fine. Yeah. But like my Brockville show, I just do insane stuff and try to write 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's brand new and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what, you know, we'll see what happens in it.
And I think it should be. You're lucky, I think, in this situation where me and Jackie have moved out here and in Montreal, we're experiencing crowds that aren't necessarily the same as they might be in Vancouver. Yeah. And I think it's a lot of tourists, it's a lot of students and things like that. And a lot of material that we have here. I mean, I got a lot of drug material on the table that I've had to like rework. And, you know, and re-go. And I mean, Jackie's known for swinging hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's going to, it's going to land where it lands, going to not where it not. But if you get the opportunity to still stay in Brockville and go to Ottawa and go to Montreal, you know what I mean? Then you do get it. Like, I think like a wider, you know, slice of the pie, I guess.
Yeah, you don't
get
to play to your own crowd every night.
Yeah.
Like, it's a different crowd every time. I've had to rework stuff for Montreal. Like, they don't do funeral sandwiches here, and that's a big part of my act. Similar to your drug stuff, but, like, and I found out the hard way that
if you know drugs, you know funeral sandwiches.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, I found out the hard way that it's, like, funeral sandwiches, not a thing, and that's, like...
What did they snack on out here?
I don't know. I was, like, this one guy was, like, looking at me, he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I was like, is this just white people culture?
Never served a sandwich at a funeral?
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm from Italian fucking town, too. So, I mean, there's always, like, you know, meats and cheeses and various selections. You build your own.
Yeah.
You build your own sandwich. Oh, see, I like the old ladies make the sandwich.
Like the finger sandwich.
The triangle is my favorite thing. Yeah.
I think that's whiter than my experience, right?
Yeah, this is, like, a strictly, like, Lions Club. Halls.
There's a line,
you know?
Like between Catholicism and Anglo-Saxon is finger sandwiches.
That's probably, it. Yeah. You draw that parallel.
Line. Absolutely.
Yeah. I find in Montreal, I guess it's because of like the language barrier, is that like when you do, for a lot of times, like my when I used to write jokes, it would always kind of be long stories or whatever. And then moving here, I was like, man, like these long stories are so hit or miss. And then finding or writing newer, shorter jokes, I was like, oh, they just need like to get to the point right away. Otherwise, they kind of just get lost in the minutiae. And they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about right now. Like, I just they just need to be like fed something super quick that it's just like easily understandable. It's like, okay, like that's funny or whatever, rather than this whole like tale that I think I'm expertly constructing for them.
Take a lot of long walks for short jokes.
You have like
a lot
yarn connected on like
exactly.
I do
conspiracy bits. That's kind of the fun of it, is to get lost in the, you know, this guy's fucking insane. But I kind of, you know, you run into a wall and you wait and like, oh god, I'm the only one in on the joke here. Right?
You guys
are actually concerned.
And then you'll be like, I thought that was funny.
You're kind of the thing. You're like, guys, I'm not handing out pamphlets after the show.
I told a joke about my buddy Brody. He's so fucking funny. It was just, I just thought it was super funny. One of our friends moved to Brazil during the pandemic, and we were all, and this bombed really bad, but we were all like drinking over Zoom. And he works for United Nations. His like wife's a lawyer and a doctor or something like this guy. So we're asking him like highfalutin questions. We're like, what's the socioeconomic politics of Brazil? Like, what's currency do they use? Like, how many states are there or whatever, all this. And my buddy Brody just like, hey, do they have a Pizza Hut there? And I thought it was so fucking funny. And it just like flat, like nothing. I was like, but that's like a better story in a situation like this than it is like on stage.
That's like hard too. It's like figuring out like what's like a funny like story or anecdote just to tell like at a hang, and then when you tell it on stage and they're just like, why the fuck did you just waste our time with that bullshit?
Oh my god. You try to take in like the audience or whatever, where if like if it's comedians and we're all friends, and you can kind of if they'll either tell you it sucks or else they might give you like you know what I mean, like it's like a laugh enough or whatever to keep it moving forward. I take that and think, well, me and my brother have never talked politics, but we have argued like Taco Bell or Taco Time.
Yeah.
And then you get up there and I'm just like, fuck, I'm on stage right now debating Taco Bell and Taco Time. Yeah. And nobody is into this.
With myself.
That's like the hard part about telling like longer jokes like that too, is like realizing in the middle of it that it's not going well and it's not going to get better. And you're like, how do I get out of this right now without it seeming like I'm bailing and I'm like, you know, scared or whatever.
Totally.
I think it's okay to be like, I'm going to bail on this, you know, I'm going to. And sometimes that gets a laugh alone. Like,
totally.
You hated that.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think if you have enough like, you know, toys in the toy chest to, you know, to move away from it in a different direction and still have it be fun, then that's okay. Mm-hmm. I think if you admit defeat and you kind of fumble around for something to go to, right? Then I think, I think it's all how you handle.
Totally. I have a little trick where I'll be like, well, they like that in Laval.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
We have this, I don't know, it's kind of fun because we are looking at, structuring something or learning how to entertain every audience, you know what I mean, across the country, right?
Yeah.
It's what works in Vancouver or Edmonton or whatever, you know what I mean? It doesn't work in other towns.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jackie was on stage last night and killing and knows where the material is going to go, right? And decides to take into this thing. She comes off, she's like, yeah, I think that was a good set. And I kind of lost my whatever. And I'm like, you know that when you go into cancer and killing kids, it's going to be a low for regular people.
Yeah.
Know, or whatever, right? And then to come back or whatever. But I think when you do it on your own, like, fruition or whatever, when, like, a comic has the... like the gumption and the belief in themselves, like, no, this works and you're gonna take it, you know, as it is or whatever.
Yeah.
Then like I don't know, there's something like respectable about that in a weird way.
Yeah, it's funny. And also like you're at a comedy show. Like this drives me insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, or like the people, I think what drives me more crazy is the people who are like, what? Like the whole time, or they're like,
totally.
Like, no. And I was like, obviously no.
What did you
People that react as if like I'm just a crazy person with a microphone, just like, you know,
insane.
Preaching my real beliefs to the people before me.
You know, Jackie's kind of developed this reputation for herself that people might think that she's fucking crazy, and to the point where she posted a very funny joke on social media, you know, just about child abduction.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and everyone thought that it was a pregnancy announcement.
Wild.
Right?
Like,
I don't
I'm like, I saw that you had to be like, hey guys.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, when I say everyone, I mean my dad texted me being like, is this a joke or are you trying to say something? I'm like, you think that I am crazy enough that I am just like so detached from reality that I'm going, if I were pregnant, I'm going to announce it. I'm going to announce it by posting a joke about child abduction.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody in her life is like, well, yeah.
Yeah, kind of sounds like you,
which is awesome. Like I do think that's like that should be a feather in your cap in a weird way. But I woke up like this morning and kind of like a weird. Hey, I wasn't feeling great this morning, and I woke up and I got a text from a local comedian here that just said congratulations. And in my head, I'm like, did I get passed last night?
Yeah.
Congratulations for what?
Yeah.
And he was like, being a dad, and I was like, man. As a comedian, like, and when she's telling the joke too, if comics are in the room that haven't heard it yet, it's like a couple weeks old or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll set up, like, she'll set the joke up, and I'm getting pats in the back and congratulations from comics in the back of the room, and I'm like, guys, we're still at a comedy show. Wait for a punchline.
Yeah, what's happening?
It's insane.
And it's also like, it's also insane for anyone to congratulate us on that. I mean, you see the space we live in,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man.
If you're like, it's what we can afford, you
know? It's a tongue-in-cheek thing, like, hey, man, you guys are on a hard road, and it's about to get harder, so.
Yeah.
If anything, it should be like, if you guys need anything, like, reach out to us.
But also, like, that's how good you sold the joke, too, because you were like, holding your stomach. Like, that was perfect. Like,
it's, you know something's got legs, you know what I mean, when it's, totally, when it's like that.
Yeah.
It's not our fetus, too, which is,
yeah,
which is
God.
Equally as exciting. But I think that that is the kind of the thing too, because we are known for storytellers or whatever. So if something, if you're going to kind of force yourself into a new scene and try to you know, get to the level that you want to be at, then you know, if fastballs are a part of the game that we got to work on, then fantastic, right? Because you know what I mean? It's going well, and it's good to have like a little friendly competition in this. Now she's got a banger, and I got to come back with something I wrote this morning tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. Oh yeah,
sweet.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's gonna eat shit. It's not good.
That's always fun when you know, but it's even more fun when something like turns out. You know,
exactly.
Like this throwaway thing is like now my closer. Like, how did that happen?
Totally.
That's insane.
Exactly. Like, I kind of have. An idea of it this morning where I'm like, okay, this is perfect because it's going to fit in with this other shit, and if it doesn't work, then whatever. And I was like, no, that's the problem, because now you're expanding on, you know what I mean,
yeah,
all your topics or your jokes or whatever. If I think something's funny, then I'll sit there and throw so much shit at that wall,
because
there's so much stuff there or whatever, right? But now what do you mean, instead of writing one joke, now you got to write 10 of them or whatever.
Yeah.
Focus on where it is or whatever. So
yeah, and that's what I was saying last night too, is that now kind of writing more just short jokes like that is so much more fun to try them, where it's like if I write like a new bit that's like a longer bit, I'm kind of like dreading trying it because I know it's not going to go well the first time. There's going to be way too much fluff in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to meander on, forget how I wrote it. Mm-hmm. Whereas like trying just like a new joke is so much more fun, and you can tell right away if it's funny or not.
Yeah. I usually like pick a topic, whatever it's going to be. Like I want to write one about Swiss Chalet. Mm-hmm. And I'll just like
clock's ticking, man. There's only a couple left.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I just like how many old people go there and stuff. Mm-hmm. Old people is a big part of my set. Mm-hmm. And
I can tell you something about the grease traps in Swiss Chalet from a plumbing perspective. Nasty, dude.
Is it as bad?
They just rotisserie chicken and all that drips down into a grease chalet there.
Why does that sound delicious?
It is really good.
Oh, rotisserie chicken drippings?
As
Yum.
Far as like, I have some friends that, you know, if you get fired from as many like legitimate plumbing companies, you're going to end up cleaning grease traps at some point. So I have a few buddies that are kind of down in that line of work. And Swiss Chalet has just one of the most legendary out of any fast food or any food kind of franchise or whatever. For whatever reason, the way that they have their system set up is atrocious, where like, I mean, like you might think like a Taco Bell would be, but Taco Bell is like 50% oat filler and not in their beef and stuff like that or whatever. It's not just straight chicken grease going and accumulating for months and months before somebody comes.
Is it, does it actually like rotate? Is that a real thing or is that just on the commercials?
No, they are. That's kind of their thing, right? They install their own big ovens with, I think, six bars all the way across, so they can, you know, have 40 fucking chickens in there spinning at once. It's truly a lovely place.
The bit I'm working on is that I do this thing. It's big. I do it at Arby's, where like I'll go in, and one time I brought my sister to Arby's and I was like, hey, I'm going to act like I'm ordering for a carload of people. And my sister was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I just like want a lot of Arby's. Yeah. And it's embarrassing for one. So like I got up to the counter.
Is this a 2-for-5 beef and cheddar situation?
Oh, it's like I'm like multiple meals. Because I'm going to like eat those beef and cheddars for like 3 days. Totally. Right? Mm, and I love it. It's hard to find an Arby's.
It really is.
And so I'm like up at the counter and I was like, yeah, give me like 2 number 2s. And then I look at my sister like, and what did they want? Was it a 3? And she just like broke instantly, And I was like, oh, you ruined it for me. Yeah. So I want to like use a little bit of that. And then the Swiss Chalet, because they have like the festive feast.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And like just ordering at Christmas time, like the festive feast for one. Like how fucking depressing is that? You know, where they're like, how many sets of cutlery? Oh, just the one.
Yeah.
You could put a second in there, but it would just make me sad.
Yeah.
I saw this Swiss Chalet commercial once that it was like, if you ordered this like steak or whatever, then you get this turkey leg for free with it. And I was like, first of all, why are you trying to get rid of all these turkey legs so fast?
Yeah.
And second of all, who finishes a fucking steak and think, you know what would really hit
a
the spot right
turkey.
Now? Yeah.
Shout out to my big brother, Richie DeVito, would love that. That'd probably be, if we were at like a buffet and those were two options, then I think they would definitely be on his plate.
I went to Disney World like a couple months ago and I wanted the turkey leg because they're like legendary
there. I've
heard
that, yeah.
And then somebody, I was like, hey, where's the turkey legs? And somebody was like, you know, word is it's ostrich. I was like, what? They're like, apparently there's an ostrich farm at the back of Disney World and they're actually ostrich legs.
Oh,
hold on, there's too much to unpack.
I know, yeah. I know.
Because Disney World, we recently watched this whole docuseries on like the making of all the Disney parks.
Pretty
and
wild.
Like the
I love
that. The cool. It's really
leaning
cool.
In.
And Disney World is like so it's dozens of acres. So the possibility of them just having an ostrich farm there is very real.
But the size of an ostrich, at what point are you killing a baby ostrich to replicate, like to try to sell it as a turkey leg? There has to be a size.
Because these turkey legs are fucking huge.
Oh,
like they're massive.
Oh, okay.
Like they're, and they're supposed to be. I never found where they were. You know, there was one spot, like one place, and they're like, we don't serve them till like 7 p.m.
What?
I was like, that's weird. Just nighttime. That's the nighttime snack
this
around
is obviously dinner time.
Yeah. This was like 5:30, and I thought.
But
I
thought America and the land of the free, you know, who are you to dictate when I eat
when
my
I'm
turkey leg?
When I'm having a giant turkey leg. But also, if it is ostrich, then how would ostriches be cheaper to keep than turkeys?
Yeah,
well, turkey. I'm like we were, like we were saying about OJ's Ford Bronco. I think they with Thanksgiving and Christmas with turkey, you have like a built-in demand for that product. So nobody's really out there eating ostrich. And Mickey Mouse might have just had like a fucking light bulb pop up on his head one day and was like, "Yo, wait a minute, we could just farm." Ostriches and
I don't think ostrich
free.
Would be like that's not that people are like I've said that to a few people and they're like oh my god and I was like ostrich isn't that
people eat ostrich just, eggs and
yeah
I,
yeah,
you
yeah.
See
that's not like that
ostrich.
Insane
no.
yeah.
And they're
for
frightening
me.
Like I would do my part to eat as many ostriches as I can just
yeah.
so there's less walking the earth
absolutely
it's like fucking terrifying shit
they are
yeah
like
you ever see
they're
dude where's
crazy.
My car man that's like the, that's a legitimately
yeah I forgot
yeah.
it
yeah,
yeah was that an ostrich or an emu
oh I don't
I
know
never,
they're
I
both
never tell
they're
the
both
difference.
Scary
yeah they what? Both are pretty I can never tell the difference
if
both
gun to my
pretty,
head ostrich and an emu right here like
I think
if
like
I had to pick I don't know
you have to fucking shoot me in the head yeah
I think an emu has like a crazier like an emu has like a crazier like haircut they have like the spiked like
emus are just
punk
they're
stuff.
Looking a little looking a little disheveled
yeah.
All right
I remember my dad taking
emu played in the casualties in 2011 that's awesome
my dad took us to like one of those parks where like there's deer and stuff and you put your you know you put the food in your hand and
right.
you're driving your car and he's like, you kids want to see me feed the emu? We're all like, yeah. And then, like, he puts his hand out. This emu comes and just walks in and, like,
oh,
cuts his hand and with its beak. And my dad's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, rolls up the window. It was insane. It was traumatizing.
Aggressive.
How old are
they're
you at that
aggressive.
Time?
I'm, like,
six.
And then like, okay. how comfortable are you now feeding larger animals with your handle?
No, I wouldn't. I like a horse, like a sugar cube for a horse. If somebody's like, you got to experience this, I would be no thank you.
Every, I remember I had a similar situation where people were taking handfuls of grass and they're like, hold it up to this horse face. And this fucking tooth the size of your head is just going to like
take
gently
a finger.
Take it off. Yeah. And I remember being like, I don't need to do this. Mm. And then I think what happened from that young age was like, I never voiced my opinion of like I'm terrified of any animal that's not like a dog or a cat.
Yeah.
And then that's just stuck with me. And I didn't really, it wasn't exposed until like a fear of birds came on later. And now we talk about, mm-hmm. I'm just like a pussy around wildlife, you know, and,
oh,
and
same.
Don't really fuck with boats either. You know what I mean? Like I'm not.
Boats.
Yeah, boats are thrown in there too.
Boats.
Well, boats, you go on top of wildlife, right? Like yeah. I'm never going to get killed by a shark because a shark's never going to walk into my apartment and start fucking my shit up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because I'm probably not going to go into its environment and do the same thing. Right. So I feel mm-hmm. like there's a mutual respect between like, you know, top apex predators like me and a great white shark.
Yeah.
Right? That
yeah.
like if you just stay, you know what I mean? I'm off his block.
I love how you're never going to be in you're it. One of the top apex predators. Just trying to be not alone.
What, 100?
Yeah. Me, sharks.
Probably. I mean, I'll throw a grizzly bear up
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
tiger,
yeah.
For
oh,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
no, I don't like love wildlife. Like in general, like raccoons, I will. Like fucking hate.
Dude, they are pretty terrible. They are pretty vicious.
Scary.
Yeah, man. Yeah. There's city raccoons that were two of them were battling outside my dad's house in their backyard, and I'm just hanging out, and they're bigger than you think they are, and
oh, yeah.
they're more
yeah.
vicious than you think they are. And if mm-hmm. two of them are fighting each other, it
and they're
was like
ballsy
a,
as fuck.
It was
oh,
a
yeah.
ball of chaos that mm-hmm. was rolling yeah. all through the backyard, breaking shit. And the sound that was coming from that was like, I'm never leaving this house again.
Yeah.
Like, until,
yeah.
at least till the sun comes up. Like this is.
Yeah,
insane.
They used to at my parents' house where I grew up on the island. Since we were like on a mountain, there was all kinds of wildlife, and the fucking raccoons would terrorize our cats.
Oh yeah,
like they're fucking.
It's just a game for them.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
See, now that you're a father, though, right, and you have a young daughter that has to experience, you know what I mean, all the world has to offer.
Yeah.
How are you going to show your cowardice around animals to your baby girl and to still have her respect you?
Yeah,
as the man
I'm
to
a
protect?
Bitch. She knows it. Like,
oh,
yeah. Yeah, I'm always like, don't do that. Don't. It's scary. Like, you know, like, don't do this thing, you know?
Are
yeah.
you bubble wrapping corners or are you just bubble wrapping the world, you know,
yeah, the
her?
World.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Not my house. Yeah,
yeah,
it's pretty lax at my place.
Okay.
But, yeah, out and about, you know. Yeah, somebody yeah. has like a scary dog. I'm not like taking her, you know.
Totally.
And the dog oh, yeah. might not be scary. It just looks scary.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like
yeah.
I'm very, yeah.
I that's the problem. I grew up around a lot of pit bulls, so like I don't like define those as like scary dogs. But if you get me around like a poodle or like a high society
yeah.
dog, I'm like, get that fucking
poodles
thing away
can
from
be fucking
me.
Vicious.
That's
too.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's number. Their
poodles
stats.
Can be, yeah.
They put up huge numbers.
Their stats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then a lot of dogs get a bad rap or whatever because like a different. I don't know if they do it out here, but in Western Canada, for sure, they have, like, dangerous dog tags, they call it. And it's up to each mm-hmm. municipality what they can choose to. So where I'm from, a small town called Trail, and it's, like, $80. And if you go up the hill to Rawson, it's, like, 150 or whatever, you know, a year or whatever, just
yeah.
to have this dog.
Just to have
and that
dog.
Doesn't cover, like, insurance. If it still bites somebody, they're still going to put it down
it's
or
nothing.
Whatever. So it's
yeah.
a cash grab for,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
nothing. Yeah,
yeah
it seems...
Yeah, I know in, like, the city I live in, like, you have to, like, register your animals and, like, pay
mm-hmm.
a fee
yeah.
and, like, declare how many are in your head. But, like, does anybody do it? Like,
I don't
who
think
gives,
so, yeah.
Like,
because,
yeah.
like, so you live in Brockville.
I do.
Right? You run a fantastic show at Brockville. We
yeah.
went and did it, and it was fucking a lot of fun. And it has this kind of small-town vibe to it. It's like, I mean, we only drove in the evening or whatever, but I don't... What is happening out there, you know, other than like the joy you bring them once a month?
Yeah, that's it. No, they're filming right now. They're film the talk of the town is they're filming a Netflix movie.
I
oh.
saw
so,
your
the Keystorm,
post about that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, the winter scene or whatever. Yeah.
yeah
okay.
So the Keystorm is like one of the sets where you guys
oh,
did a show,
wow.
and like Craig Robinson's in the movie.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah, Chevy Chase is supposed to come in for a day.
Oh,
buddy,
wow.
are they gonna drop in or what?
Yeah, 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 yeah. maybe a little. Yeah, we might do an impromptu show.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be dope. Right?
That'd be
yeah,
sweet.
Chevy. I mean, apparently he's a jerk, but
oh
like,
yeah, you're nothing but bad things
yeah,
about
yeah.
him.
Never a good thing.
Never
like,
a good thing.
And with a body of work like that, you would think that the one person would be like, you know, he's not that bad,
yeah.
right? Like he's like 70s SNL cast, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All the way up to Community, everybody
yeah.
thinks this guy's a piece of
Everyone's
shit.
Everyone's
yeah.
like, fuck that guy.
Yeah. yeah, like Bill Murray doesn't talk to him or something. Yeah.
How do you
like,
get
Joe
that?
McHale is like
no,
very
right?
on record. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What does Chevy Chase have on the entertainment industry that he keeps getting work?
I don't know, because he's saying some like racist, sexist stuff apparently to Childish Gambino, Donald Glover.
Right, Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Like the up and coming, like the, you know, the face of comedy tomorrow. You want to put that in his head? It's interesting because with a body of work like that, like you know, when John Candy died, like you know what I mean, tears are pouring, right? But he's the complete opposite, where you've never heard a bad story about that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So when Chevy Chase dies, like people are gonna like. That, like, it's gonna be like a book burning of fucking National Lampoons and shit like that. Like, it's gonna be
it's so crazy because I'm trying to think if there's any other equivalent of someone who's like, because the body of work is obviously like very well respected, and
Clark
like,
Griswold is one of the legends of all time.
Some of the most iconic like 80s, 90s comedy movies, but like universally regarded as a piece of shit.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody, and there's like nobody. Yeah. Right? You know, like you hear like individual like one Ellen.
Yes.
Ellen. Yeah.
For sure.
It just like popped in my head.
I mean, I guess, but like, hey, we've all been overworked and underpaid, you know what I mean, right? Like,
Ellen
I've told a guy to not look at me at work, too. I mean, I get it, but.
Like, what the fuck?
That's got to be tough. I mean, the asshole in me is like, like, I would never follow in those footsteps, but you got to kind of respect it at some point. You're like, this guy is.
I mean, he's committed. He's committed to the bit.
I had one. Like, it was so funny. So I'm going to be braggadocious here for a second.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Just for Laughs a few years ago with a TV show that I wrote. Mm-hmm. And my show ended up winning the writing competition.
Right.
Yeah. Anyways, I
got
invited.
Don't be braggadocious. We've knocked at that door a couple times.
Awesome. Okay, so I ended up, we go to like the Netflix party at night. Mm-hmm. And the PAX brand, like they make like the expensive vape pens over there.
Yeah.
And they're like engraving vape pens for like the stars. And like Neil Brennan was there. Who else was in the room? Like Marc Maron was there. There was like a lot of like celebrities in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so like I go up to get like my vape pen, and the girl, like, she's flipping through paper, and I wasn't on the list.
Oh no!
And literally, like, I did something cool, like. 4 hours ago, and I was like, what the fuck?
Feeling on top of the world.
Yeah. I was like, excuse me? Like,
oh, I'm sorry, you haven't heard?
Sorry?
Bitch, look into the future and see this face.
I did an interview with CBC this morning. Like, are you fucking kidding me? And I was like, yeah, it was so funny, like, how entitled I felt. So, like, if you get that every fucking day, now, mind you, the next party, the next night, the lady, like, I walked by, and she's like, actually, your name was on the list.
Oh,
and I was like,
shit.
Fuck, yeah. And I was like, I knew it.
But
of course it's on the list.
Yeah. Got brought down to earth for a day. And then
Oh, man. I'm leaving early because I have my job to go to. My office. On
you guys wouldn't understand.
Yeah. Can you engrave it now? Because I have to drive. But. So if you get that like constantly, I kind of get where you're.
That
like,
would go straight to my head.
Oh 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she's it's gonna be a Bridezilla situation. Any real thing, like I look out, you know what I mean? Because Jackie, you deserve it. You know,
I mean, we all agree I deserve it.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm looking forward to the whole thing. I mean, I have like a. It's harder for me because I want to be everybody's best friend. And that's kind of tough, right?
Yeah,
so I do,
me too.
I think I'm a little bit nicer than that. But because I got the boss over here who doesn't take no mess, right?
Yeah.
So that's, it's also nice because it'll put a little distance between me and people. If I meet you at a show or whatever and I'm like, yeah, you're a fucking beauty or whatever. I'm a first-time hugger. It's all good.
Right? First-time
but
hugger.
But then if I've never seen your act before, then you get on stage and you turn out you suck or whatever, then I can kind of hide behind the boss here and it's all good. And
then
some separation between people.
Right.
Which is nice.
Always, I'm always like quiet at first until I'm like, because I don't want to be the person that's like, hey, oh, you do that show? I'd love to get on that show. Here, watch me bomb my face off.
Right?
First.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
I've done that a few times. Hopefully there's not anybody that's listening that might be able to put this together because I'm a nice dude. And I do genuinely, you know, like want people to follow their dreams and stuff like that. But I have... spoken to a few people at the end of a show that I might not have even been watching their set. And I'm like, oh, good stuff, man. Like, keep going. And then you see what, like, I've just encouraged.
I know, yeah.
And then I've gotten like, you know, hey, I'm 1 year in now. Thanks for inspiring me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no.
I kept going because of you.
Yeah.
He's gotten so many messages like that. Be like, you know what? You were the first person that really encouraged me to stick with it or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, sorry, who is this
I don't even know. Yeah.
And they're saying like the most racist stuff on TikTok.
Bad. Really bad. So I don't co-sign anybody that says that I do. Reach out to me for a vouch and I will do it in person. for all that stuff. I'm just, you know, I mean, a nice guy to my own detriment, I think, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's easier because I think with the build that I have and maybe like the voice or whatever, like I can kind of like present as like a different or like maybe like a little bit more antagonistic, which I definitely don't want to be, and I'm definitely not. I think it's easier.
Yeah,
it costs nothing to be nice. So
yeah.
You know, I definitely try to do that, but I do need to set some boundaries up.
Yeah. I think the boundaries is the big thing.
Yeah.
Something that we're working through.
I think so. But you know what I mean? Life's a journey, right? Like you know what I mean? How else are you going to learn if you don't, you know, inspire like, you know, about 30, 40 incel pieces of shit comics?
Yeah.
Hey, you need a ride home? Get in the car. We'll give you a ride home.
I loved your edgelord shit.
Oh, buddy.
Really good stuff.
Really good stuff. Yeah. No, when you attack the woke left,
totally.
Yeah. And then the Andrew Tate is God rant.
Oh my God. I love it. I like how you said that. Oh, there was a kid the other day talking about just kicking trans women in the balls or something like that,
as if
this was going to be the thing.
Who's opening this comic was going bullet and opened the show with that.
What?
And we're
sitting there with
their
jaws on the floor.
God.
And then when he leaves, he texts the group chat. He's like, sorry, guys, I was working some new stuff tonight.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Were you ever?
It takes so much. And I think that. In the thing that we love to do so much, there's not a lot of like gates or checks and balances and stuff. Like any lunatic can show up at an open mic, you know, and continue to go in. And I hear the stories of, you know, all the comics that I love and the comedians that I respect, like a lot of like New York scene and stuff like that, where they'll just tell you straight up, be like, you know, maybe get the hell out of here. You're not good enough or whatever.
Yeah.
Where I don't usually have the heart to do that, and maybe I should. Right. Because there's, you know, there's some stuff happening and, you know, you definitely can't co-sign at all. But the problem is that there's no block on the entrance
for
mentally ill people that are so fucking that believe in themselves this much.
Yeah.
Which is wild because, I mean, you end up having to, you know, to sit through an entire show of brilliant people that you like admire and like, how the fuck did you connect those two things to make this joke coming right on the heels of the fucking most crazy shit that you've ever heard?
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
And that's then, what open and mics are for, though,
sure,
yeah.
For sure, right? And to an audience member's perspective, it's like, oh, these guys are all in the same group.
Yeah, you're all lumping them together. That's it. I do love to see a crash and burn.
It's very entertaining to watch.
Oh, I love it. I actually like kind of like doing it a little bit too.
I've been there.
You know, some bombs I'm like embrace. You know, not for all of them. You know, especially if I'm not in like town, which is like Ottawa for me, then I don't never want to.
Yeah,
yeah.
But like, and there's some spots in Ottawa where like most people have seen me do well there, so like they know. You know, where if it's not going well, I'm like, okay, I'll just dive right into this.
Yeah, we had like a spot like that in Vancouver where it was like our friends running the show and we were there like every night of the week almost. So it was like, if it doesn't go well, then you can have fun with it.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've gotten to that place anywhere here where we're like, you know, eat shit and we're like, fuck yeah, that was awesome.
Let's just dive right in.
We're still new enough here that you definitely want to like stay consistent and keep that like momentum rolling or whatever.
It's never the plan.
But if you can acknowledge that it's a pretty low stakes room and you get to have some fun for yourself, then like one night of the week can be for you rather than for everything else, right?
Yeah.
Like, so, and that's something I wanted to ask you is like, how long, like when did you start comedy and when did you start like taking it seriously, like, oh shit, this is something that
I did a couple sets in like my 20s and when I was in college and stuff, but it's only been like 4 years where I was like, maybe like 3.5 or something, where I was like, oh shit, this is like I have something here.
Yeah.
And it was like literally, it was like one night I was doing like open mic Yuck Yucks and the owner was in the back of the room and he was like, who the fuck are you? And I was like, I'm Chad. And he's like, where are you from? And I was like, I live in Brockville. He's like, why the fuck do you live in Brockville? That's what he said. And he's like, that was good. Do you want to like do this weekend? I was like, oh shit.
Oh, wow.
This is
nice.
Cool. Yeah. And then like literally that was like a month before the Just for Laughs thing where I went
and then
I met a ton of people and and then I just like dived kind of right in after that. I was like, oh, I have something here.
Nice.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
started like paying me to do comedy, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, okay, I'll just roll with this.
Definitely.
You know?
That's awesome.
That was like what happened. It was literally just like one night. It was like, I literally was doing Yuck Yucks it was the first time I ever did the open mic, and I was literally doing it just to say I've done Yuck Yucks once, and then I didn't know if I was going to do comedy again.
Well, like, comics that are listening to this, stop listening now, because this is not the tale.
No, I know.
Not everybody's story.
I know. It was. It's totally bullshit. Like, happenstance.
Well, no, but like, but you are talented, right? So, like, that being said, did you discredit your own ability and stuff like that, and we're just kind of fucking around? Or did you notice that you were kind of picking up steam?
I've always, like, tried to have insanely amounts of fun with it. Like, I don't want to take myself seriously, like, ever.
For sure.
Like, too seriously. Yeah. Like, I'm never. Well, like, sometimes I'll, like, leave and be like, oh, fuck. Like, what am I doing? You know what I mean? But, I mean, like, I try to, like, just be positive, like, have fun with it. Like, I hate when the green room's super tight and people are, like, nervous. I hate that. Like, let's have, what are we going to do here?
When,
like,
people are pacing around. We were just talking about that last night. Like, the comics that pace around before they're set. And we're
I'll
like,
pace
what are...
3 minutes before I go up. You know what I mean? Get my head right, do little stretches.
Totally.
Like, that's it. But, like, an hour before? Like, the whole
time,
30 minutes? Like, what are we doing?
You know? It's the pacing and it's the mumbling your set to yourself over and over and over again.
It's like, what do you think this is? Man, you know the words, dude. That's definitely that's always eye opening for sure. Do you have like a good group in Ottawa of of guys that
Ottawa's awesome. I have like some good friends there. It's really good. Like, I say this not to shit on like Toronto, Montreal, or anywhere else. I do comedy, like, top to bottom Ottawa lineups are like the best. Like,
really
are really good.
Nice.
Like,
excited to get out there and check
top, like, from the bullet act to the headliner, they're solid lineups. Like, they're they're awesome. Like, it's a really strong scene. There's like shows every single night. There's four clubs I guess, like, now in the city, and like, they're getting good crowds. Like,
that's popping.
Nice.
Hell yeah,
it's awesome. There's a lot of awesome, like, great comics.
I like that it kind of, I haven't been there yet, but it has this like, you would have to work twice as hard because you're not Montreal and you're not Toronto and stuff like that. Do you have any of that, like, idea?
Yeah.
Like,
I say this,
you're
like,
the blue collar, you know, you guys are really getting the work done.
I go to, like, all three cities, like, pretty regularly. I try to do Montreal once a month, Toronto once a month, and then every other, you know, night is Ottawa. There's this one thing about Ottawa is, like, you don't get your audience all the time. So, like, in Toronto, if you're if you're an edgelord comic, you can do the edgelord room every single night and play your crowd every single night, doesn't matter. If you're a queer comic, you can do the queer room every single night. Where in Ottawa, we don't have that luxury.
Fair enough.
And like, if you're you know, doing shows with Yucks or Absolute or whatever, they're sending you like fucking Petawawa to do the you know, military base and like make those guys laugh, which
awesome.
Is like
yeah.
And you're going to like small town like Pembroke, and then you're doing like the Ottawa U crowd. Like you don't get your crowd every night, so I feel like that makes you stronger.
Definitely.
I mean, like, Toronto is like the mecca in the sense of like
yeah,
that's where the top headliners are, and that's, you know, but like, I feel like Ottawa's a really good spot to like cut your chops.
Totally.
Is it cut your chops?
I think
cut your teeth.
Cut your teeth.
Cut your teeth.
Yeah.
Earn your chops.
Earn your chops. Get your chops.
Get your chops.
I know. It's a music.
You can get chopping in Ottawa.
Yeah, you can. You can chop it up.
You can chop it up in Ottawa.
I'm very much looking forward to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The idea that you're not going to get kind of the same thing, because we're. I mean, as far as like not getting your same audience out here or whatever, we definitely see that. But a lot of times it's like, you're not going to get your audience here, right?
Yeah.
The audience is not like
which
tourists and students and stuff like that, which is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets, it makes it a little bit more difficult, and it also makes you appreciate those, you know, like the Brockville shows or something like that. Like, we just went out to Voudreau or whatever, a little town.
Yeah.
It's outside. And it's like, oh, as soon as you get to where regular people are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then it's like, the skin's been thicker here, and it's a little bit more tested too, so like, you can kind of get out there and kind of like have a sigh of relief.
I'm always like, what the fuck am I getting into? Like, even the show we did on New Year's Eve, I was like driving there, I was like, what the fuck what am I getting into? And that show was awesome. Like,
I always,
you know,
find doing the small towns is always so much fun. Like, people are just stoked that there's a show, you know. They're like down to laugh, and they're a lot less sensitive or whatever in general than city audiences might be, depending on, you know, the room.
If they have nothing coming through that town, and you're like, you're gonna be the only thing that's there that week or whatever, right? And they do kind of seem to show up for it, right? You know,
they
what I
treat
mean?
You really well, like
oh yeah, dude, that guy that fucking runs that oh, where was it? That the New Year's show, wherever.
Oh,
that
yeah,
went.
I got a free mac and cheese that night.
Oh, dude, I got. Oh, beers. Yeah. Like, he's just like, yeah. And you have to try all of our beers. I'm going to fucking die if I drink.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 But he had a really good attitude about it.
Yeah, that show was super fun. That
was
like,
really fun.
Yeah, that was a good crowd. Like, they were into it. I still don't understand what the bunker was. Remember they said
there was a bunker,
but nobody would explain it.
You know,
yeah,
the weird
that
thing
town
about
has
that
secrets
bunker
for sure.
Is that when we were in Vaudreau, they had interesting strip mall kind of community, obviously in the shadow of Montreal. They have a Walmart in the in this parking lot that is across from the bar that we're performing in, and there's, like, I've never seen a Walmart with not one car parked out front of it. It's
oh, whoa.
Yeah. So apparently that Walmart's been closed down for months, and people kept referring to this bunker behind the Walmart. So I don't know what it is about Eastern Canada and small towns.
Just bunkers? Quebec.
There's bunkers.
Yeah, just Quebec.
Yeah,
yeah.
Within
yeah.
50 yards
bunkers.
From a comedy room, apparently.
Yeah, pretty high town. On the priority list for small towns in Quebec.
Yeah, what do they know that we don't? Yeah, that they're building right? all these bunkers.
Apparently a bunch, because they have other languages and shit. They're hiding
they're
a little
bit. They're keeping
secrets,
for sure.
From us,
yeah.
Right? Keep it close to the chest, man, because I don't know. I don't want a bunker, too. Like, if you're going to drop a bomb,
oh, no,
drop
I don't
it
want
right
a bunk.
Here,
yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean? I don't think that,
yeah, you don't want a bunker down.
No.
Is it bunker down or is it
bunker? I think it's hunker down.
I think it's hunker down. Yeah.
Hunker down.
Tunker is not a word.
Okay.
It's hunker, right?
Tunker down. I like
tunker,
it. Though.
I like tunker, though.
This,
yeah.
is, the, this is the issue. Is that, like, I could be completely right here 100% of the time,
yeah.
but if she looks at me with those eyes, like,
yeah.
what are you fucking then I have to, you know, concede and admit
it's definitely hunker. Not Tunker.
Yeah, it's,
I can
it's
tell you that
yeah.
with absolute confidence.
I've heard it a couple times now, and I might have to agree.
Yeah, my mom definitely throws a hunker down sometimes.
Yeah,
like when the weather's bad.
Down. It was
like,
it was big in COVID. Everyone was hunkering down.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
On the news, on the news, it'd be like time to hunker down.
We hunked. We actually didn't really hunk. Honestly, Vancouver was pretty loose. We
yeah,
a lot of people didn't come out, so we got spots and stuff like that. We got good fast because there was a lot to kind of go around. But yeah, we spent.
There was some hunk. There was a couple months of hunkering for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spent the first few weeks at my brother's house, and that was wild. Actually, the government told us that we could just stay inside and get fucked up for like
yeah,
and then
great.
We kind of looked at each other after like 8 or 9 days, like we gotta get
we gotta
change, we gotta do this in a healthier way.
My daughter was like, "Daddy, what's happening?" I said, "Well, we're hunkering." that's what's happening here.
This is the hunker chapter
this
of
is
the
when
book.
You learn how to
hunker. We don't know how long we're hunkering for.
We're hunkering. Yeah. We've never done this before. Yeah. I've never hunkered this hard before.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually really good at hunkering.
For
3 months, I was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
I could have kept hungry.
I
honestly,
like, I'm due for another one.
For
people
another
hate
hunker.
That, but I'm due for one.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
like every
yeah.
face
I love
in
a
the
hunker.
City tonight just to help, yeah. just to give everybody, you know,
I
a couple
a good,
weeks, months
every
off.
Every time, because, you know, there's all the new strains and every, like, few months, everyone starts wearing masks again. And there's like, ooh, is it going to come back? And a part of me is like, I kind of hope so.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
man.
I, like, caught up on all the TV I was watching. And I know, like, people lost their lives and there's, like, stuff like that. It's real.
I mean,
issues.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I also lost weight and saved money. Like,
exactly.
Get out
of
here. Like, yeah.
I mean, I couldn't
cooking
think of like
night.
A more creative time. I mean, we really actually got a lot done. As far as like writing and stuff. I read books again. It was there was a lot.
It was a great time.
Yeah,
honestly, I miss COVID.
Excessive drinking definitely did too many drugs.
Yeah,
alone,
that got
was,
out of control
yeah,
for sure. But
yeah. Yeah, I did a lot of Zoom drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, a lot of Zoom hangs. Yeah.
Which was cool.
Did you do a lot of Zoom shows?
No. No, no.
Nice.
They were
no,
terrible.
Never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It was
we were cutting our teeth at that time, so any stage time was good, and then I like just the few that we did, we were like, okay, no, there's a better way.
Do you like stand up in your house? Did you like stand
up?
We did.
Yes.
I think we
did a sit down one as well. But that was more like they had so much gimmick bullshit, like here's a picture of your friend's room, so like roast his room and shit like that or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like stupid
I want
to
say we might
stuff.
Have even like broke out a microphone and just been like holding one like this
sure.
just
yeah.
to
yeah.
like but
yeah.
we also
That's
did
so
it like
funny.
We were both like together doing it, so at least we were in the same room like laughing. It wasn't like you do the show then you shut your laptop and you're
yeah.
just
yeah
alone.
We had a lot of friends just like yeah isolated
yeah.
doing
like sitting there
yeah.
You know when like something happens and you just sit and you just like stare blankly like,
yeah.
No, I had a cool apartment and we ended up having like a lot of fun. I think at the beginning, it was like a little bit more touch and go. But then once everything kind of started to loosen up, it was fun. We actually came out here, and it was still kind of shut down.
Ago.
So that was
or they had a curfew still.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We did a show at the Lord William Pub, and then afterwards, We're meeting everybody and everybody's having a good time. And they're trying to, like, apologize for the city for us. Like, guys, it's not your fault that the world is shut down. Yeah. They're like, if the Habs were playing tonight, we'd be allowed to be out until 1.
That's crazy. That was the decide. Like, there was so many, like, wild things that everybody was just like, yeah, no, that makes sense. Like,
we can't give up all our freedoms.
I can't wait to, like, go back on this in a decade and, like, tell people who were like, yeah, like, tell my daughter.
Yeah,
you know, she's 9 now. She was like 5, 6 when it was all like to tell her, you know, like, all the crazy stuff we were doing. Like, there was arrows on the ground in the grocery store.
I mean, the social distancing was so crazy. It's like, okay, well, if you stand 6 feet apart, that's cool. But it's like, we're still breathing the same air.
Yeah.
Here.
Totally.
Like, I mean, if you still fart in the grocery store, someone's going to smell it. Where do you draw the line here? And I always kind of looked at it like, you know, I'm not as, like, healthy as, as it. So a lot of people are, like, concerned about their health. And, like, I've never been to a doctor. I'm like, guys, like, this isn't, we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
So I definitely kind of treated it with a grain of salt the whole time, too. But then, like, but also not being like a dick, like a lot of my friends were calling people, like, dumb for their beliefs and stuff like that. I'm like, hey, man, live and let live. If you want to get locked inside, that's cool. And if you want to come out to a show, even better. So
I was like, well, whatever anybody wants to do. At the end, I was like, okay, but let the people that want to go, you know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
Now when I see a person with a mask, though, I'm kind of like, whoa.
Which is throwback.
Which is, like, a good thing. I'm not like, it became like, you know, it's not like the normal in my brain anymore.
Exactly.
Like, I'm kinda like,
I take note of it now.
Okay, that person, you know, you know, or is being cautious. Like, I kind of noted it. Where before, I was just like,
I kind of respect it. I think I honestly look at it like, if you're under 30 with a mask on, I feel like you're gonna go loot something. And if you're, like, older than, you're just like, care about society. If you follow crime as closely as I do, I'm like, oh, a lot of these kids just got, like, a free pass to, you know, steal Hondas and shit.
That was a big thing though, that
the
people
Kia
walking,
boys and shit, like, they're out there. You know, if you got a Kia, then lock your shit up, right?
I have a Kia and they can take it, honestly. Like, take my Kia, please. I want that insurance money.
That would be fantastic. I mean, we rock a little Subaru.
We like baby blue.
Stay the fuck away from our stuff. But I mean, we can get your car stolen for you, dude. You got a guy.
Sweet.
No problem. We'll cut that part.
That's like, there's like, you know, when somebody, like, I have this big tree in my front yard. Somebody's like, well, you got to look to see. I was like, honestly, if I'm not there and it goes through my, like, the insurance, like, awesome. Like, awesome. That's ideal for me.
Any opportunity to collect insurance money, I mean, you don't get that every day.
No.
It's insane how people think that's like a personal attack on them, and you've, like, invaded, like, you know, my safety and my privacy and stuff like that. Take it all.
Because if you're going to rob or steal from me, really do it.
Like, commit to it.
Have you ever thought of getting, like, homeowners insurance or things like that, so that you could kind of, like, tally up everything that you own?
Yeah, I have that. I don't know how it works. I think, like, you just go back on it after. You know, like, you just be like, this is what I had.
There's a lot of Led Zeppelin records there that are old, that are kind of plain copies, but I could be like, I had a first edition Led Zeppelin one.
I think you could totally do that.
You know what I mean?
You could totally say that. They would never know.
So if there's a house fire here in 5 minutes.
You could be the night, you're like, we had 3 cameras for our podcast.
Yeah, we had the highest tech equipment.
Yeah,
100%.
Exactly.
I mean, really, like, I could get my entire wardrobe back with, like, 2 calls to, like, 2 record labels that are out of Vancouver. I could be like, guys, just send me the whole lineup bands, and then
the news is like
Dickies, and I will
the
be
news
good.
Is out front, like, trying to interview you. You're like, yeah, we just ran out. We were all wearing our lapel mics. And you're like, I almost forgot my brand new iPhone.
It's crazy that all, like, the red camera equipment, all the lights and stuff like that. I mean, we lost a couple interns. How are you gonna pay those back?
Their salaries. You know,
we'll take them for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think. You know, in the spirit of defrauding the government, what do you think about actually claiming tax?
Haven't done mine yet.
How much are you saying you got from Yuck Yucks, and how much is off the books?
I didn't make a cent. I don't do any shows for Yuck Yucks.
Fantastic.
Open mics all the time.
Canadian comedy, baby. It's a pirate's life for all of us.
Wild. I love it, though, because I love anything that's like a carnival lifestyle.
Hell yeah.
Like, I love, like, traveling circus lifestyles. So like this pro wrestling, like anything where somebody's like running the roads.
Totally.
Like bands that like have a van.
I think those are the big three for me. Like it's the yeah, I've always wanted to at least be a part of like one of those things. And also being a plumber for so long, like I've worked for somebody for I pushed shopping carts at Zellers when I was like 14 or whatever, right? It's like I know what we could go back to or whatever. So like the idea of working so hard so that you're just working for yourself. It's like there's something.
Well, and just doing it just to work, like your whole life is fucking working for someone else or whatever. And it just takes up your whole fucking life. You work, you know, get through until Friday and then you have 2 days off just to fucking go back and do it again.
Yeah, oh,
just to like have money that like you're never going to be able to enjoy.
Just to spend and then so you can buy another ATV so you can get locked into the cycle of debt and all of that shit or whatever, right? It really makes some people happy, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Shout out to my brother and he's got a kid and house and all that shit, and but that's the way that like life is like happening. But I just look at it as like a fucking prison that you built for yourself.
I know I left my big boy job, which is crazy to me, like my pension and everything, like a few months ago, and it was like I haven't looked back. Like it was awesome.
Hell yeah.
Like, I haven't looked back yet because it was like I do work for a film company, but that's like in the same realm I see it as. There's like a lot of freedom there.
Totally.
So like I just want to stay in that realm. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I couldn't like work for like I'm 9 to 5. Have to like, like if you're late for work, like somebody's being like, "Where the fuck were you?" Like that's wild to me.
It's
know, like my thing was like, my job was good. I had a good job. I liked my coworkers. You know, I had good benefits and everything. But if I retired from that job in like whatever, I don't know, like 20 years or whatever, would I have been like happy in the end? Like that was the deciding like conversation in my head. Yeah. And I'm like, I would have been content, but I would have like there would have been a part of me like, you didn't really go for it.
Well,
Chad.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. And it's kind of crazy to think about like life in the way of like, am I going to be happy in 25 years from now? When it's like, why don't you fucking just be happy today?
You
know, and I do think that that's like
friends who are like 35 and know the day they can retire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm counting like, down to it, which is crazy.
You might not make it to that day.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
You,
and so you're just going to hate your life up until that point.
Yeah.
So
you, like you don't have a bunker.
Have a hunker bunker.
You don't have a hunker bunker. Like
hunker
how are you
every
going to?
Day?
You just hunker in your office.
Yeah. I could go weeks without leaving the house if I wanted to.
Yeah,
exactly. If it wasn't for spots, you might.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think that's good. I'm like we've been out here and it's been good. I'm definitely going back to, you know, a little bit of work to just to kind of keep shit a little bit more easy, but it's definitely on my terms. It's somebody that I know. It's like 3 days a week. You know what I mean? And very in a business that's surrounded by artists and things like that or whatever. Everybody that works there, like we're printing t-shirts for bands and shit, right? Like if you gotta fuck off, you can fuck off, right?
So I
think that if you can set your life up to a point where like it's on your terms, then that's cool. And you've definitely like you're on that rung up that we're trying to get to.
That's
inspirational, my friend.
Thank you I don't believe in like what's that called, manifestation per se, but I do believe in just like if you like want something and you're like looking for the opportunities, they'll like present themselves.
Totally.
Just like going for it. You know what
I mean? Yeah, I think when like preparation and opportunity meet or whatever. Right. As far as like manifesting is like too much of like a, you got crystals and fuck with like the moon and shit like that or whatever. It doesn't make sense to me because like I only know what comes from the work that you put into something, right? And a lot of times, unfortunately too, in my experience, is the right guy for the job doesn't always get it too. So you gotta be you know, prepared to get kicked in the balls again.
It's funny how like I used to, and I don't like not anymore, but I used to been like, oh, I should have got that spot.
Oh,
like, that was my fucking. Now I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Like,
oh yeah, go back and watch the tape, right?
Yeah,
that's what I do, and it's like, okay, like, did you kill as hard as you think you did?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
The tape and go back and do it again.
And I find like when I do get in that mindset where I was like, that should have been, I like, in if I just like wait a couple days, somebody will like message me, like, hey, we got this show going. I'm like, sweet,
totally.
Yeah, you just like gotta, you know, sometimes a little patience. Or whatever.
Totally. Exactly, it's important. I think that's, for me, that's the biggest thing. Absolutely. I can get a little big for my britches, but that's why I got an apartment here. And I have Jackie to be like, okay, just freak out here. And then when you go to the show, be cool.
That's it, too. I'll freak out in my car.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I get it. You know, people are
like, punch the steering wheel, not the host.
Exactly. Mine's where I'm always like, oh, people are like, that was great. And I was like, yeah, but.
Oh,
yeah.
I should have said this. What the fuck are you talking about?
I've got two tags for two bits that I know are going to rip the fucking roof off in the past two sets that I've done. There's been two in my head that are just like, you know, I forget yeah. to do them or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you're focused on too many other things.
I wrote a bad joke that I think is okay. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I took my daughter to a professional women's hockey league game yep. the mm-hmm. other day, like the women's league, which mm-hmm. is awesome. Like, those mm-hmm. girls play fucking hard.
They're great. Yeah, so hard. Yeah.
Four of them actually left the ice with cramping. Like, that's how, and I was like, how many periods does this game have? Is that good? Good joke?
I like it.
Yeah,
I
all right.
Like yeah, yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Okay. Dude, that's fantastic. Let's fucking, we're at the hour.
Sweet. Yeah. Do you have anything you wanna plug to our 10 listeners
from
yeah.
Western Canada?
Okay. The 10, the West. I'd love to come to the West Coast.
Oh, dude. That's it. Yeah, definitely. We'll set you yeah. up with some names and things like that.
Be
we'll
awesome.
Get you. Yeah. Hell yeah. yeah, man. We're looking forward to coming out to Ottawa with you. So
yeah, man.
Once again, Chad Noonan, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Thanks for
coming. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Peace.